Hallelujah. I just want to talk a little bit this morning. Every time I minister, it's a little bit different, I guess, but we've been dealing with issues. God wants to restore our minds. He wants to restore our thought life. And that's an area where every believer is under attack in their minds. A lot of times the way that we're thinking is completely contrary to the Word of God. So we're receiving God's grace to restore our thought life this morning. And let me just make I have an outline today, which I normally don't have, but I put some thoughts down and organized them a little bit, and I just want to talk about your thought life and where that leads, okay, into your words and into your actions, into your attitudes. So where your accumulated thoughts go, when I say accumulated, there will your words and actions follow. And of course, your speech, your words can be constructive or very destructive. And sometimes we're living in a thought life that is counterproductive to our faith and our future success. Thoughts have the potential of turning into things, whether good or bad, repeatedly reinforce. Many times what we do is we repeatedly reinforce unscriptural thoughts until they become strongholds in our mind. And we don't even realize that we're doing it. And we don't realize when we think about something repeatedly and reinforce it, it becomes a stronghold that needs to be cast down. And the only way that can happen is it needs to be recognized for what it is. We can't afford to be careless in our thought life. Okay, and so many times we are careless and we don't realize that thoughts are things that need to be managed in our life, or they will turn into very destructive behavior and not even realizing that we're doing it to ourselves. And so we need to become very conscious of our thought life. We need to become very aware of it. We need to become very aware of not only our thoughts, but the words that follow out of our mouth that can be very destructive or can be very constructive. They can be faith-building or they can be faith-destroying. We cannot afford to live carelessly. Okay, we can't do that. So thoughts do have the potential of turning into things, whether good or bad, And we need to learn how to repeatedly reinforce our faith by proper scriptural thoughts to renew our mind. So we need to learn to organize. I was laying there one morning and I had a little notebook. I have a little notebook most of the time when I sleep. And we're all under attack in our mind in some areas of our life. And I wrote down that morning, the Holy Spirit, of course, was, how many know He's always there? When we yield our heart and mind to Him, He is always there to be our helper and our guide. Okay, and we need to be very conscious of His movement in our life. Okay. We need to be aware of it. We cannot be careless about our relationship to God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is there to restore, to rebuild, and to renew our relationship with God. So we need to organize and discipline our thought life. So I had a notebook once in a while, and when the Holy Spirit is there, I know He's there, and I know that He's trying to lead me into all truth. I know that He's there, and so I wrote down, okay, the very thoughts that I needed at the time. They were scriptural thoughts. They were areas in which I have been struggling. I have been weak. And I needed my thoughts reinforced and my mind renewed. Okay. Now, this is a daily thing. You can't afford to let your guard down. You cannot afford to be careless about your relationship with God, your thought life, your words. You know, the Bible says that we should never allow corrupt communication to come out of our mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. And sometimes we don't realize how corrupt our communication is, that it's totally contrary to the truth and the Word of God, and it opens the door for the enemy to corrupt our minds, our thinking. We're in a world full of stuff going on that's constantly warring against our mind. So we need to organize and discipline your thought life. I determine through the help of the Holy Spirit what pleases God, what He wants me to think, how He wants my thought life to glorify Him. Or Satan will destroy your thought life. Plan out very carefully your lines of accumulated thought. Set your affections and bind them with warm, positive emotions, okay, on them. That's something, you know, I wrote it down. Maybe it didn't come out as good as it should have, but your thought life, you see, the Word of God is a higher spiritual dimension than just thinking. And we live in a culture where everything leads us to be completely passive in our thought life so that our thought life can be completely controlled. Okay, we live in a world where the world wants to take over our thought life completely. And we're unaware of it. We become very, very passive. You know, when you're sitting in front of the television, you're passive. You're completely open to anything that comes along, and that's why the world and the way it's designed has a tendency to take over completely. And pretty soon we're walking in the world the way the world thinks, and the fruit that it bears. Okay. It's very important that you be in charge of what you're watching and what you're thinking. Very important. Because you don't realize it, but this is a strong influence on your life. And so many times we become a prisoner to the world's way of thinking. I only have one idol, and that's Jesus Christ, and I really mean that. I'm not interested in the world's success. I'm interested in the world's salvation. Okay, that's our calling. And so many times we become incorporated into the world. But we're not of the world. We're not supposed to be. Okay. We're thinking about the, I was thinking about the scripture, in the world we will have tribulation. You can't escape that. It's going on right now more than ever. All I can tell you is that you've got to follow the Holy Spirit and all this stuff that's going on in the world right now. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm not going to get into the politics of it because but the best thing we can do besides we pray because God can cause wars to cease. We pray that for Jerusalem right now. It's in trouble. But this is what the Bible says in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. You then being risen with Christ, are you risen? Are we risen in newness of life? Seek those things which are above. See, our thoughts are God's thoughts. They're above natural thinking. We're to seek those things which are from above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. But we have a hiding place, and I could get into that too in Psalm 91, the secret place of the Most High. Every one of us need to memorize, at least start out by memorizing, so that the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Psalm 91. Okay, the world's in trouble, and that trouble's going to increase, and we don't want to live in fear over the things that are coming on the earth. Okay, Psalm 91, of course, is a psalm of divine protection. And if you don't know it, then we can't put our faith in it. And knowing it starts with learning how to put it in our heart and then learning to allow the Holy Spirit to bring the reality of that to us. Okay. If you're looking for protection, I could say a lot about that with the first pandemic, and the destruction that brought. Please be careful about what the world is pushing and telling you. And, you know, the truth came out about that. And don't get me going on that, because you... All I'm saying is, if more pandemics come, and it's already happening in China, they're falling dead by the multitudes. You can't live in fear. And I'm going to just tell you right now, the world will help you very little. You've got to put your faith in the truth of Psalm 91, and you need to walk in it, and you need to quote it, and you need to renew your mind on it, and you need to reinforce yourself in it, okay? So, you know, we're going to get into Psalm 91, but we won't do it this morning, okay? So we are called to think in a higher dimension, in an eternal perspective. God's word is eternal. It will never pass away. The world is temporal and is passing away very rapidly. You know, and the world, all the world has is to worship wealth. And if you want to worship the superstars that were completely, you know, and I feel bad for a lot of those people. They die in their sins, and we continue to celebrate and worship them because we don't have Jesus Christ to worship. Well, they're not our examples. If they were, we would die in our sins like they did. So we practice point number four. This is the first time I've ever had a message like this in a long time. But practice discipline in your thought life. Thus continually strengthening your ability to control your conscious mind. Okay. Learn to identify and repent of carnal thinking. I'll say it again. Learn to identify and repent of carnal thinking. Identify destructive and non-productive sinful thought patterns. And, you know, my wife helps me with that. They can be subtle. They don't have to look evil. But unbelief is destructive. To our life, even though it does, even though our intentions is not to be evil, unscriptural thoughts working against our mind are evil. And the sooner we identify them and repent of them and become conscious of them and become careful about them, see, we were never intended to live carelessly to begin with, and so many times in our ignorance, and we live careless, and we're made victims of our thought life. Much of these thoughts have become habitual and are strongholds that have manifested into things and joined to affections and emotions of were prisoners of addictive thoughts. That's where we need help from others sometimes. I have obsessive thoughts. I have addictive thoughts. And I can't break free from them. They dominate my thinking. They control my mind. And the only way out is the deliverance of the Holy Spirit. What does 2 Corinthians 10:5 say? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There are things, high things. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Say obedient thought life. Your mind right now, every day, is under attack with imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against what? Against the knowledge of God. Okay. And we have to immediately learn how to cast those thoughts down. Bring them into captivity to what? Obedience. Say obedience. Obedience. You see, you need to have an obedient thought life. Don't be careless about it, because don't take it lightly, because boy, there have been times that I have, my mind has come under attack where I thought I was going to lose it. Second Corinthians 10:5, you need to memorize that scripture. Powerful. It's our weapon of the learning how to enforce the name of Jesus. If you want to call him Yeshua, people get hung up on that. Jesus Christ is the English version. Yeshua is the Hebrew version. Either one, I guess, will work. Some people think that you're going to go to hell if you don't use the word Yeshua. I use both of them. They're both identically the same thing. And so we need to learn how to cast down. We need to learn how to use our authority violently against the enemy. And so remember also that the blood has cleansing power. See, we learn how to use, how to enforce the blood of Jesus, or how to apply it on our mind, on our life, how to use the name of Jesus, and how to use the Word of God. These are weapons that we need to learn how to use on a daily basis. The name, because it's above every name, the blood, because of its redemptive power. Nothing can stand against the blood that was already shed for us. There's nothing more powerful than the name, the blood, and the word. Amen. Nothing. So the blood has cleansing power. Receive the power of the blood to cleanse, and the grace of God to start over again sometimes in our thought life. Lord, I'm not gonna think this way anymore. I'm not gonna think these destructive thoughts anymore. I'm done with them. I'm conscious now of their destructive power, and I'm sensitive now to their potential. So start immediately, diligently renew your mind on lines of organized thoughts. Okay, we're supposed to organize everything, right? So could there be anything more important than an organized thought life? That's why it's so important when if we wake up in the middle of the night, our thoughts are organized to pray or to seek the Lord or to meditate on Scripture. This is what needs to be done all during the day. So start renewing your mind immediately on, diligently renew your mind on lines of organized thought. Say organized thought. And of course, that's what the book of Joshua says. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. Now, I realize we're not under the law right now. We're under grace. But there's some good advice here concerning the word. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Okay, say day and night. We need to learn how to meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shall we have good success. So our mind is, we activate it, we empower it. We don't live a passive life, a passive thought life, right? I like Joshua 1:8. Good advice. And then we set boundaries that you refuse to cross. Say it with me. We set boundaries that you refuse to cross in our thought life, okay? You just, the thought comes, you say no. No. Say it instantly. No, I'm not going to think this way. No. Because bad, lustful, evil, greedy thoughts will come and we need to say no. And you know what? Make your yes, yes, and your no, no. You need to mean it. You need to completely mean it. Then when I say yes, I say yes to obedience to God's word. And when I say no, I know immediately that the grace of God is there to say no. Okay, I'm not doing it on my own now. I'm doing it in God's power. Everybody say it with me, no. You see, because evil thoughts are going to attack you on a daily basis, and you know what? You need to learn to cast them down. You need to learn to say no. And then you need to realize that the weight of that thought of saying no is just like God saying no. Not maybe. You see, because that's the authority of God, not your own authority, when you say no. So you set your boundaries that you refuse to cross. And then find accountability. Number 10, monitor your progress, ask for help when you need it, and repent quickly when you fail. Okay, don't be ashamed to have to ask for help. We all need it at times. I guess in a sense it's all right to fail, because when you grow, sometimes they say you're failing forward. But at least you're leaving things behind, right? I mean, you're gaining ground. But you see, I had to tell thoughts no, and I knew that God's authority was in my mouth, and that I really had grace to mean what I said. If you don't have any faith in your word, it sometimes becomes very difficult to put your faith in God's word. Does your word mean anything to you? So find accountability, monitor your progress, ask for help when you need it, and repent quickly when you fail. And then plan purposely to eliminate completely. Say completely. You know, when you destroy an enemy, you do a thorough job on him. All unscriptural and carnal thinking. Eliminate it completely. It's your enemy, and many times you're defeated as a result of it. And then, of course, grow in what is lacking. I have treat what is lacking, but grow. Because we all have things that are lacking, right? They're lacking. Our mind hasn't been renewed. We don't know the truth. And we become vulnerable in those areas. How many know the world's broadcasting 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? They're busy renewing our minds, taking our minds captive. So then be patient. Don't get discouraged. Realize some of these wrong thought patterns, they run very deep. They run very deep, and we don't even realize that they have, of course, influenced our life, all of our life. They can be thoughts of failure, thoughts of condemnation, thoughts that we vulnerably received from other people or our parents or our past. And we're a prisoner to them subconsciously because they have taken root and they have been with us so long. And then thank God continually for your transformation. That's why when we stand up here, you know, our biggest desire is that God would transform, would work on our heart. You know, life is a heart issue. God looks on the heart, not on the outward things we're doing sometimes. Unless they're coming from the heart, they can look right and they can seem right, but they're not really, our heart really isn't in them. Thank God continually for His transformation. And then celebrate our progress. Psalm 138:8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." Philippians 1:6, "Being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in me will continue to perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus." Hebrews 8:10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." And then, of course, Romans 12:2, "I'm being transformed by the renewing of what? My mind." And then 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord." And then be consistent with expectancy. Hallelujah. How many know the miracle worker has never left?